My name is Zach Como, and you're listening to the My Tech Decisions Podcast. Everyone, thanks for coming back to the My Tech Decisions Podcast. Like I said, my name is Zach, and I'm your host. As we know by now, the COVID-19 pandemic has transformed the way we work and has accelerated the digital transformation for countless businesses and organizations. But it's not just the office where we're seeing these transformational changes. Educators also had to adopt new technologies on the fly. And with distance learning now in full swing, tech like video conferencing, unified communications, and collaboration are really permeating the education sector like never before. And now these technologies are poised to shape the future of the modern classroom. To talk about this is Doug Smith, the Director of Learning Spaces and Audiovisual Technologies at Illinois State University. Doug and I talk about what the university did to accommodate students in the early days of COVID and how the school plans to make use of the new technology going forward. Before we get to that interview, here's a quick reminder that the My Tech Decisions podcast is available on iTunes and the Google Play Store. Download and subscribe to hear weekly interviews with experts in IT, cybersecurity, cloud computing, unified communications, audiovisual technologies, and more. And now here's Doug Smith.
Great, yeah, so I wanted to look at what we're doing in education to support distance learning, and what we're looking at going forward. Now, what were some challenges that you and your department faced during the pandemic, and how did you address those challenges?
Well, the initial challenge was how quickly this came on, and how many rooms and how much equipment had to be acquired and installed and training provided to get faculty up and running. I mean, we're talking days in the amount of time and warning that we had in terms of how quickly we switched modalities. So, trying to scramble and acquire that much gear and install it and help faculty learn how to use it, that was the biggest challenge.
So how did you meet those challenges? What exactly, did you guys bring on to the university to meet those challenges?
Well, like every other person in my position across the country, we all scrambled out to every vendor, every manufacturer who had any kind of supply of equipment, and literally bought as much as we could get our hands on. I know in our case, I know in lots of other cases that we weren't able to get either the type or the brand or the quantities that we ideally wanted to get, but every university was in exactly the same boat.
Right. So what did you guys rely on most? What kind of devices are common at the university?
So as a result of this COVID crisis, we now have, as a minimum, a webcam installed on every instructor station. But we also went farther. We went and installed almost 50 tracking cameras in large classrooms around the campus. We significantly upgraded our wireless mic fleet and bought a number of USB-enabled microphones that could be placed in all kinds of locations. That was from a technical standpoint, AV standpoint, that was the biggest investment.
And so what, did these technologies allow teachers and students to do? Is the university just remote, or is there hybrid learning, a mix of remote and in-person, or what is there?
This semester, we are a mix. We've got, I think there's about 50 courses that are taught with some number of students in class and online. The rest are fully online, synchronous or asynchronous. That you know, a great shout out to every faculty member around the entire country who never dreamed that they'd be teaching their classes in front of a computer screen. Right. You know, so many of them really, really rose to the challenge, and you know, with the help of great tech support, we're still able to, I think, deliver great educational content to our students.
So does this allow professors to teach, you know, both in person and, you know, to a remote audience simultaneously?
Yes, we've got, as I mentioned, I think there's 45 or 50 classes being taught in a hybrid mode, or with some people call a high flex mode, with some students physically in the room and the rest online. And then, of course, we, our campus, like many, adopted Zoom as the platform for doing the distance ed or remote learning. The recording features, that gave us all kinds of opportunities for faculty to explore what distance education would be, could be, should be, I suppose, and for students also to evaluate whether or not long-term that's a style, a modality of instruction that they also want to participate in.
How has your strategy changed over the last few months as, you know, we kind of look towards a post-COVID world and with the vaccine rolling out and whatnot? Have you had to change your strategy at all, or is it you're just kind of doubling down on that distance learning tech?
Depends on what you mean. Currently we're in maintenance mode. We're trying to get through this as the vaccinations work their way out. Everybody, of course, is hopeful that by this time, by summer or certainly by the fall, we can go back to something approaching normalcy. But the one thing that I'm excited about, and I know a number of colleagues around the country are excited about, is that for our institution, this really kickstarted the idea that distance learning, opportunities for remote learning are real and far more attainable than a lot of folks thought it would be. And the fact that we could switch so quickly and continue to be successful just gives us a lot of hope that, as a lot of institutions are, that this will be an opportunity now to expand the university's footprint, provide educational opportunities for a lot more students. So in our case, our designs, our standards now have changed. We don't believe this is the last time we're going to see something of this magnitude. Clearly the news is filled with information that suggests that this thing isn't over. It's going to go down with a fight. So our standard build now for classrooms is going to include the ability to do simultaneously remote and in-person instruction or fully online. So it has dramatically changed what we plan to do.
Great. That goes into my next question perfectly. You know, what amount of distance learning, you know, will remain, you know, after, you know, COVID's long gone? And how do you plan on addressing that?
That's a decision, of course, that's above my pay grade. My job will be to facilitate whatever the administration decides they want to go forward. But clearly the word on the street is that this was not nearly as painful as some administration thought it would be, and that the tools are robust enough and usable enough for faculty that this is clearly a direction that the university can and needs to pursue.
Right. For other schools that are considering investing in this kind of tech, you know, what do they absolutely need to make distance learning work effortlessly as it is at your university?
Starting at the top, you have to have an administration that is fully behind and supportive of a distance education strategy. That includes solid planning and a clear mission statement. Who is the instruction geared for? Why are we doing this? With that, then the technology is easy to fit into most any space, but the strategy dictates whether it's synchronous or asynchronous. Do we need, how much recording, how many auxiliary services related to recordings and archiving and metadata and those kind of things? That's all driven by the mission and vision of the distance education.
Right, right. What about in the way of, cameras and microphones, which I think is really, the key technologies that you need for this?
Oh, no question. This, of course, can't happen without sound. It can, but isn't well received without video. So clearly, the need to put more cameras, better cameras, and good audio, this really causes those of us in the AV side of the world to really step up our game. Or perhaps that's poorly worded. I like to think that all of us as AV professionals already bring the A game. I think this has been an eye opener to the administration that, what we bring to the table isn't just the frosting on the cake.
Right.
We're the first course. And if we can't deliver the audio and the video, then you don't have a distance education.
Right, right. So my wife is a public school teacher, and as such, in public schools there wasn't a huge budget to support distance learning. They did give everyone a laptop with a webcam, but that was literally it. Inside the classroom, they have projectors that they had for a while, but nothing else. So they were stuck really using the built-ins on their laptops. What's the danger of this taking that approach and not really, seeing the benefit that AV can provide, not just now, but also, in the future?
Interesting question. There have been clear examples of faculty at all levels, and I work with our local public schools here too, who have done an amazing job with, as you described accurately, minimal technology, minimal skills, certainly minimal training to do this. None of us have to look very far to find heroes who have stepped into that role and still managed to salvage education for our students. And those folks are to be applauded at the highest levels. We just can't say enough for those people who go the distance and figure out a way to make it happen. It is a danger. Clearly our university student population as a whole do not care for this style of learning. Those students who wanted an online experience found that at some other institution. That's the nature of higher ed. The personal on-premise experience cannot be duplicated with a bunch of faces on a screen. It's just not the same. I get that. I understand that. So I think if there's any danger, it's losing that whole tradition, that aspect of, and for a lot of students, college age, it's part of the rite of passage of becoming an adult, of getting away from home, being responsible, being part of this new community. I think that's the danger, that if too many institutions go this route of all online instruction, that's a part of our history tradition that goes away. I don't personally think that's going to happen.
Okay. So what does AV provide to a university? How does it, aside from COVID, what benefits does it provide to a university that's looking to diversify its student population, reach more of a global space of students? Can you speak to that?
Well, sure, and we've already alluded to this, you know, the quality of the installation. How well can I hear my instructor? How well can my instructors hear students? How clear is the image? How readable is the content? And to the extent that how seamless and how realistic we can make the experience, so that if I, as a student learner, decide that an online approach is for me, you know, the decision of synchronous and asynchronous comes into play. But all of that, back to your question of the AV, the quality of the AV, the quality of the tools themselves and the installation, as well as the quality of the training of the users who will be using it and supporting it, are all critical factors to making any of that successful.
I think we need to talk a little bit more about that, the training. You know, how do you roll out, a training like that in the short amount of time that you had? But now I guess there's probably a little bit more focus on it, since we know these technologies will probably be sticking around and helping us in the well into 2021.
You're absolutely correct. We literally had a week where we closed the university and said, the next time we see our students, they will be online. There were, on our institution, we've got almost 1,000 faculty around the country. I'm sure the percentage of those faculty who were in absolute panic mode was significant. Our office doesn't handle training directly, but we were involved with that as an expansion of our training unit to try to get as many staff in working with faculty as possible. But going forward, that is going to be key, right? It's always been the case that, those of us in technology, especially those of us with white hair who've been at it for a while, we joke that if you want to learn something, you find a kid. Because they're going to know how to do it better, faster, than us older folks. And in some respects, we've kind of relied on that as AV tech managers, that, as each batch of faculty retire out and the new ones come in, they're going to bring a new level of technology savvy that helps with all of this. But the reality is, we saw it across all levels, I'm making a joke here. I don't think your wife is nearly as old as I am, so she would fall into that category of a younger faculty, and she ran into struggles. She's not alone. I would say across the board, everybody ran into something that threw them for a loop. So I just can't say enough that training, consistent, clear, concise training is going to be the foundation on which any distance education is going to be successful.
Great. Doug, I think that answers the questions I had. Unless there's anything else you want to hit on, any trends you see going forward, post-COVID, changes to, classroom AV that you see, coming down.
Well, as I already alluded to, we are going to change our standard classroom design to now include the tools to make it possible to do a hybrid class, or at least lecture capture in any classroom wherever we're at. So we're really going to be increasing the number of cameras, the number of microphones, the quality of both in all of our institutions as a standard install. And I know we're not alone in that. Something like this, be it a flu, who knows what, I hate to be an alarmist, but I don't think this is the last time we're going to see something of this magnitude. Well, even something more practical of an enormous ice storm that knocks the university off its feet for 10 days. Having the tools and resources available to be able to support the continuation of education is going to be critical.
Right. And I think this would, yeah, to your point, I commuted to school my first couple of years. And there were times where I just you know, A, didn't want to go, or B, yeah, there was a snowstorm, or I was sick or something. So yeah, I think this can solve a lot of problems, not just, you know, global pandemics.
Correct.
Yeah, right. Great.
And there are students in the world who like this remote. Most of them, the data that I've seen, most students who prefer the remote learning prefer it as an asynchronous as opposed to a synchronous, so that they can do it on their time. That makes total sense to me. Right. The world is much different than when I was a 20-something going through college, and the demands on a 20-something's time today doesn't look anything like it was in my day. So I get that. So these tools are going to be necessary if the institution is going to continue being the place that people come to look for educational opportunities.
Right. Is there any, hesitancy, among, people that make the decisions that, you're doubling down or investing too heavily in this kind of technology? And do you think, I think a lot of people are under the assumption that things will just go back to the way they were in, 2019, whenever, by the summer or the fall?
No, I don't think so. I think, if anything, the benefit to me and guys like me, gals like me, is that those people in the administration who thought that, oh, this distance ed thing was a fad, or it shouldn't be as expensive as it really is to pull off, right, finally got a chance to see that, to do it right, it costs money, it takes resources. And so that's going to be a huge help in moving this forward, I think, across all institutions, K on up. They understand that in order to be able to do this, it's going to take some resources. Yeah. And that's good, because that's a big shift from a lot of administrators. And also, I think, shift in them understanding the value of being able to make a shift like this in the case of a major storm or an outage of some kind, to be able to have continuity is a fantastic step forward. So I think there have been a lot of positives that came out of this all the way across the board for those of us in the trenches on up to the administration.
All right. Hey, Doug, thanks very much. I appreciate your time.
All right. Good talking to you.
You as well.
Bye. Take care.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the My Tech Decisions podcast, where it's our mission to help you make technology decisions for your company. If you would like to learn more, head to mytechdecisions.com or follow us on Twitter at My Tech Decisions. You can also follow me on Twitter at ZWComo. Until next time.